Acts chapter 6, that's page 914. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint was made by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the disciples summoned the full number of the disciples, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Then they sat before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time this morning when we can come to your word. Thank you so much that is informative and helps us understand the nature of church, how we can run church as a growing church, and to help us keep the heart of church and what church is about. So we do pray, Lord, you'd help us and guide us this morning. Amen. Great stuff. So, running a church, how should it be done? Business versus ministry. Corporate values versus non-profit values. Do they clash? Or are they both? Do they both have a place in the life of a church? If you ask Google, should church be run like a business? Google isn't quite sure either. Here are some headlines from a Google search. So there'll be some negative ones and some positive ones. Why it's bad to run a church like a business, or 3 big problems with running church like a business. But then you have the positive ones as well. You have 5 healthy ways to run your church like a business, or why it's good to run your church like a business. So how can we work this out? And it's a particularly important question for any church that's growing. like the church here in Jerusalem. Back in Acts 2, at the beginning of this book that we're looking at, we see the day of Pentecost. We see that Peter and the other disciples are speaking in many different tongues and different nationalities, explaining the gospel. And right at the end of that long speech, you see a little throwaway verse right at the end of chapter 2, where it says 3,000 were added to the number that day. Imagine that, 3,000 added in one day. That is church growth, isn't it? Imagine coming down to Vauxhall Street on a Sunday morning, suddenly 3,000 people are there. That is a parking headache, isn't it? Imagine that. So this is a really important question for any church that's growing. Now, here at Jersey Baptist Church, we're not quite 3,000 in growth, but nonetheless, we are seeing the Lord do a great work amongst us. And it is the Lord working, bringing people to faith and an understanding of who Jesus is. And people are giving their lives to Jesus and wanting to find out more and coming to church here at Jersey Baptist Church. And we're thankful for this. We're seeing growth in a number of different areas. On a Sunday morning in 2017, our average attendance was around 67 individuals. But we're currently averaging 125 on a Sunday morning. In 2018, we hosted 385 scheduled events through Church Suite. In 2019, there were 791. Amongst our young adults ministry, a year ago we'd have had a handful of young adults in their 20s and 30s here as part of the community, but now we have around 20 or so joining us here at the church. In the last year, we've expanded our home group provision from 7 groups to 9, and currently 93 people are assigned to groups, and so that's a 32% increase in our group membership in the last year. And of course, our staff team has grown from 3 to 5 in this last year. But how should we deal with this growth? How can we get this balance between Bible ministry and the organization of a church? Well, as we dig into this, I want to present a helpful picture to help us understand this balance and interplay between the two. And it's a picture of a trellis and vine. Now, I love gardening. And I'm an expert on plants, and pigs can also fly. I have not a clue what's happening in our garden. We had to replant our vine about a year ago to move to a different place in the garden. There'll be a picture coming up on the screen. Here it is. As you can see, it's not doing too well, is it? That's the old trellis that it used to be on, but in the process of moving, it pretty much died. And so there's the vine right at the bottom. It's looking a bit pokey, isn't it? But a year on now, I took a picture yesterday. Look at it now. Look at that now. Beautiful, isn't it? So you've got a trellis and vine there. But how does this help us with this passage? Well, in this illustration, it's an illustration given to us by a book written by some really knowledgeable people in Australia called The Trellis and the Vine. And they say that this is how it works. The vine, if you could just get the picture back up just so we could see it. The vine is the work of the Bible and prayer ministry of the church. So it's the gospel proclamation, the preaching of God's word. Okay, that is the vine that is growing, bringing faith and bringing many people to faith. The trellis is the supporting structure that allows the vine to grow. So that's the administration side of things, the management. Church Suite, for example, being a great program to help us organize ourselves better. DBSing, safeguarding, planning, strategies, systems, processes, all these different things. So this is the picture we're going to be referring to. How can we make sure that we are balancing these two, the trellis and the vine, the life of the church? What is more important? Is one more important? Are both necessary? Which one comes first? As we think about building for the future project, how can we do this in a godly way? As we get into bricks and mortar and organization and stuff like that, how can we keep the heart of church? Well, here we see a godly biblical handling of trellis and vine, organization and Bible ministry. By organizing themselves better here in Acts 6, keeping the balance between the two, the ministry of prayer and word was freed to be let loose for the sake of the gospel. So as we dig into this passage, it would be great if you could have page 914 open. We'll be referring to it a few times. In this first section, we see a growing church brings growing pains. A growing church brings growing pains. So in verses 1 and 2, if you look down me, you see that the word of God is going out to all parts of the known world, and it's bringing growth. The vine is growing, but it's growing so quickly, it's presenting a few issues in the community. You could call them growing pains. Whilst it's thrilling, you know, to have this growth, 3,000 people in one day, that would obviously present a number of growth issues. And so we see here, the particular issue here is between the Greek-speaking Jews, which is the Hellenists, and the Hebrew-speaking Jews. So they're both Jews, both part of the same kind of heritage, but the Greek-speaking Jews were probably maybe Jews that came to faith during Pentecost, and the Hebrew-speaking Jews were probably of Palestinian descendancy. So there's a different demographic here between these two different groups. Okay, and the feeling was, or rather the knowledge was, that this one group, the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews, were being overlooked in the distribution of food. So with this group, there were with this growth, there was a lack of organization, efficiency, and people were being neglected. In other words, the vine had grown and was growing. The gospel was crossing cultural boundaries. It was thrilling. It was exciting. But there was little trellis to support and help this vine growth. As we think about Jersey Baptist Church here, like the church here in Acts, we are inevitably experiencing some growing pains as we grow. Like most, or in fact all churches in town, parking is an issue. We know that. A couple of years ago, you could probably turn up at 10:29 and be sure to get a space. But we know now it's a little bit busier. The pastor's time is a bit busier, both in the week and on a Sunday morning. You may not be able to catch the pastor as easy you would have been able to a couple of years ago. Our children's groups are growing, and therefore we need more leaders. Every time we have three more precious children to our Splashers group, which is our 0-4 age range, we need another leader on rota every week, because it's 1-3 in our ratios. Our holiday club was full. We had to turn a few families away. A few families who were trying to sign up 2 or 3 days before, we said, sorry, we just don't have the space. You know, we've got a team. We've put our best front foot forward. We've got a great team. But we just don't have the capacity to be able to take on more. How can we do that? How can we deal with this growth? Dangerous Club on a Friday evening, which is our monthly kind of youth outreach club, has 111 on the mailing list. 111 youngsters on the mailing list. Isn't that thrilling? Now, we get around 40 to 50 of those on a Friday evening. If we had 111, I wonder how we'd deal with that. But that's what we need to be thinking about. How can we build the church and cater for all this growth? All these areas needing more organization and a need to grow ministry teams, better systems and processes. But as we experience these growing pains, we'll need to be patient as we try and find solutions and put things in place. It's a bit like the growing teenager working in a PE department back in Oxford. We had to cater and make sure that we're adjusting for teenagers as they go through different growth phases. So you might see this in teenagers. They go home at the end of the summer term in July, and they come back in September, and they're about 2 foot taller. I don't know what their parents have fed them, but something has happened in those 6 weeks. And that's because in child development, teenage development, their bones just grow really quickly. So all children are different, but their bones grow really quickly. But what happens is the muscle doesn't adjust to that growth as quickly. And so the muscle lags behind a little bit. And in that phase, when they come back in September as a PE department, we have to make sure that we're aware of this, because one of the effects it has is their coordination. So they used to be able to catch a ball, but their arms and their limbs are a bit more clumsy now. They don't catch the ball as well because the coordination and the muscle hasn't caught up with the growth. But also you have to be careful not to cause injury to them. If you put their muscles under too much stress, it causes injury to them. So we have to be patient and understanding with this type of growth. And that's what it's like within church. There will be times when we have to be patient. You know, there's going to be growth happening, we pray, God willing. And we know there's going to be areas where we need to find solutions, but we must be patient and loving and caring with each other. We must not let this, any issues or things become a injury and a source of division in the church. We must make sure that the devil doesn't get a foothold. The devil loves to hinder a church that is growing. He loves to get into those niggles and mini conflicts, whatever they might be, and try and cause division. So as the apostles received this complaint, and we see that they see there's a valid complaint, what do they do? Do they think, right, we've got to sort this problem out. Let's roll up our sleeves and just sort this problem out ourselves. Well, let's look at verse 2. We see, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." That might rub a bit. I wonder how they felt at the time. You mean you guys, the apostles, you get to teach up front and do all the fancy things at the front whilst we have to do the menial tasks? Is that kind of how it works here? Well, it's important to note here that the apostles and the writer Luke had no intention to suggest that waiting on tables was inferior to the supposed real work of preaching the gospel. Yeah, actually, the context of waiting on the tables was different. Like for us, it might be, you know, your 16-year-old takes up a summer job just to earn some petty cash, they might wait on tables, okay? But actually, for them in their culture, waiting on tables or the distribution of food was actually quite an important position in the household. It was actually the head of the home that did the distributing of the food in the family home. So they had no plan to suggest that it was an inferior role. But ultimately, what is prayer and word ministry? As we think about this, how can we understand that? How can we understand this balance between the two? What is more important? Well, as we think about prayer and word ministry, it's the saving of people's souls, not just for their earthly needs, but for eternity. It's the non-negotiable role and function of a church to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus from his words. It should never be sacrificed or pushed to one side. But it shouldn't be an either-or either. We see here in this passage, don't we? It's not an either-or. It's not like, okay, we're going to have to cut back the numbers. It's a both-and. And that's what we try to do here at Jersey Baptist Church. As we do sunbeams, as we go about afternoon tea, CAP, as we get involved with compassion, serving earthly needs, but at the same time, trying to bring about the word of God into the lives of those people coming, whether it be a formal upfront way or whether it be through conversation. So it should be both and we see that here. And so we see in section 2, as we think about this now, in verses 3 to 6, we see a trellis is put in place to help the vine grow. So verse 3, if you look down with me, the disciples have their eldership meeting and decide that 7 men are needed to oversee this ministry and run a team of volunteer helpers. Verse 4, this has allowed the apostles to focus on prayer and ministry of the word. That doesn't mean they necessarily didn't help out as a team, but they weren't in this kind of leadership team. They were to focus on the prayer ministry of the word so that it wasn't compromised. And then verse 5, we see the church community were pleased with this solution, and so these 7 volunteers were to be leaders with what seems to be as Stephen as their leader, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And so we see in verse 6, the leaders of the church commissioned this group and empowered them to run this ministry on behalf of the eldership and under the anointing of the Lord. So we see here a volunteer-led leadership team is set up to oversee this ministry. But as we see this, as we look at it, there's a couple of important lessons we can draw from this. Firstly, that they were not anti-organization and business. Here's a great example of where the vine needs plans and systems and processes and dedicated leaders with gifting to oversee these ministries as they grow. We shouldn't be afraid of organization. It's funny, if I'm talking to a non-Christian friend, sometimes the response can be that they don't like organized religion. And I always quickly respond, well, you'd love our place. We're not very organized at all. We shouldn't be anti-organization. We should be business-minded for the sake of the gospel, put systems in place, building ministry teams with different roles, allowing people with particular gifting, whether it be within trellis work or vine work, organisational work or word ministry, to oversee ministries and be involved with these ministries. See, as the vine has been growing through word ministry, you know, in Jersey Baptist Church, it has highlighted the trellis needs that we have amongst the community. And so that's why, for example, on these Sundays through March, last Sunday starting, it being the first one, we're having these kind of mini training sessions where we're talking through different ministries, whether it be welcome or teas and coffees, or the music team or the tech team. How can we do these ministries really well so that the trellis is supporting the vine? So how can you serve a tea and a coffee, not in a functional way, trying to get the teas and coffees out as quick as you can to quickly get them washed as quickly as you can, but how can you do that to actually help discussion? How can you do it being sensitive to maybe a pastoral discussion that's going on? How does the trellis support and build that vine? So we see that's what these training sessions are about over these Sundays that we're doing after the services. And there'll be other areas. There will be other areas we spot and know. And you may see these things yourselves. Many of us would have been part of bigger churches where we've seen ministries at a much later stage with great systems, great process, great resources. You have ideas, and it's great when we receive ideas from people, not necessarily just problems, but solutions. And people saying that they can help in different ways. And we can chat about those things. We can say, well, it may not be feasible at this stage, with resources and so on and so forth. Or it might be a not yet. Yeah, let's look at that in the future. Or yes, let's get going with that. Let's make sure that we're ready for the growth that we pray comes. So we shouldn't be anti-organizational. But also, the second lesson we see here in how they arrange themselves is they also knew the heart of Christ's church is the vine. That is prayer and the ministry of the word. Ultimately, God wants our trust and focal point to be in the prayer and ministry of the word. People are saved by the gospel, not the fancy buildings and programs we run. God has ordained for us to build his church, not by becoming a big multi-million budget corporate company, with the intention of building an amazing trellis, an amazing 1,000-seater auditorium, a big team of marketers and advertisers and fundraisers, a team of graphic designers, all with a church of 120. Now, maybe one day, maybe the vine will grow to such extent we need those things. Wouldn't that be great? We shouldn't be anti those things, but ultimately, we shouldn't be putting our trust in those things. First and foremost, it's not the trellis that drives the work in the church, but the vine. Why the vine? Because it's the word of God. Throughout the book of Acts, it's the word of God that is bringing that multiplication through the power of the Holy Spirit. As you look up here on the screen, there'll be a number of verses here we'll see in Acts 6, Acts 12, Acts 13, Acts 19, and the word of God continued to increase. But the word of God increased and multiplied, and the word of the Lord was spreading through the whole region. And then the last one, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Interestingly, it doesn't say, and our parking capacity increased, and it brought growth to the church. It says the word of God was bringing that growth. And that's why we must do everything we can to elevate the word of God in the life of the church. You know, as we go about the life of the church here at Jersey Baptist Church, we try to make sure that in every part of the day, throughout the week, in the morning, afternoon, and evenings, the word of God has been preached and taught and proclaimed. And so that might happen at Sunbeams, it might happen at a ladies' Bible study, it might happen at Jets, it might happen at Bible studies in the evenings, it might happen at youth, children's, whatever kind of medium it might be, we pray and hope that the word of God is going out and bringing life. We're not to be building our own towers of Babel. And of course, we had to be prayerfully considering this as we think about the building for the future project. But as we looked at it, we could see that there has been an increase in the number of children and young people and families. That growth that Vine Grove has been driving this, as well as the staff, as well as quite a few of us in the office upstairs. It can get a little bit busy at times. If you've been upstairs on a Sunday morning, over the last year, you would have seen our young people packed into the kitchen upstairs as their meeting room. But if you've seen our young people, they're growing both numerically and in body size. They're getting a bit too big for the kitchen. And that's why, for temporary, we've had to move our youth group down to the Life Centre down at the end of the road. The Lord is at work as the word goes out. And we're at peace and can see that and pray that the Building for the Future project will help support this vine growth. So the trellis is important and necessary, but to enable prayer and word ministry to flourish, the trellis is a servant of the vine. The vine needs, therefore, drives trellis decisions, not the other way around. And here in Acts 6, this sharpness in vision in the life of the church and the heart of the church helps them to have clarities within the roles of the church. And this has a profound effect on the ministry of the prayer and word, as we see in verse 7. So look down with me at verse 7. And it says, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to faith." We see here that the fruit of organizing themselves better and allowing the prayer and the ministry of the word to happen, we see the growth just keeps soaring. It just keeps going on and on. The distribution of the food was done better. People weren't overlooked. The seven used their gifts to serve, and the Bible teachers were able to give enough time to prayer and word ministry, and we see the disciples increased. And this will look different for each person, and it will look different for each role and for each ministry. In my role as assistant pastor, there'll be some times when I play more of a prayer and teaching role, and other times a more of an administrator's role. In children's ministry, we have a great team of teachers who lead from the front, teaching those sessions. And so a large part of my role is to empower them, to train them, and to run the administration so that they can do their role really well. And so that's the role of myself and Kate, to support those Bible teachers on a Sunday morning. With Dangerous Club, we have Karen and Ruth who do a great job with the administration of that Dangerous Club, which enables myself, Gareth, Chris, Kate, and others to be able to lead and teach from the front. So we see this trellis and vine complementing each other. We see it also in the afternoon tea. We have a wonderfully well-drilled, organized team running the running of afternoon tea, which is every couple of Fridays for our community to come and enjoy. Probably one of the best afternoon teas in town, I reckon. But that team that runs and organises that afternoon tea allows the likes of John and Drew to be able to focus on the prayer and word ministry. Now, does that mean they play no role in helping the team? No, they both help out in different ways. John faithfully heats up the sausage rolls every Friday afternoon tea. And so not only does he put his heart into teaching and singing from the front, he is your go-to man for the perfectly heated sausage roll. And I know, because I can smell them being cooked up in the kitchen, and I make sure that I'm in my office then as he walks past, and I become his go-to man for testing out these sausage rolls, and they're always perfect. So he always helps out in ways he can, but ultimately this balancing of the two teams helps the trellis and the vine, the growth of the church, happen. And we're very thankful for many here at Jersey Baptist Church who help and they serve. Many of you have stepped up and served in different ways and joined different ministry teams. In 2018, we had 66 people serving on Sunday rotas. Currently, we have 84 people serving on Sunday rotas. And so we can really be thankful for this. I know as a children's and youth pastor, I'm really dependent on lots of leaders being able to help run these groups. Our children's groups are probably the most resource heavy in terms of people having to support and have enough leaders for them. So I know that when I'm walking towards someone on a Sunday morning, they're probably fearing me asking them to be on a rota of some kind. Here's a joke for you. What's the similarities between a helicopter and the children's and youth pastor? if you get too close, you get caught up in the rotors. But I'm not going to apologize. But hey, look, you know, that stampede on a Sunday morning, with all the children and youth running out, we wouldn't change it for the world, would we? We want to have those children with us. They're going to be here sitting here in 5, 10, 15 years. They'll be our future church. It is a great work, but it does need teams. But like Stephen and the seven here who were volunteers overseeing growing ministries, we're already seeing volunteer-led ministries under the vision and leadership of the church here, with operational assistance from the staff team, whether it be church suite or safeguarding or registration or DBSing or helping with the vision. And so we're very thankful for hearts that are engaged and serving in Trellis and Vine ways. And we're thankful for the godly leaders that we have. Ultimately, these ministries need godly leaders. And we see in verse 3 the marks of that leader. They knew that they were looking for these seven, and they had to be people of repute. So they had a good reputation. They had shown that they had a good reputation in just serving in small, lesser tasks. They were also full of the Spirit. They were living for God and serving God. You could see the fruit in their life. You could see, you know, the Spirit of God coming out of their lives in godliness. But they're also wise. These seven would have had to oversee a pretty big ministry. You know, if the church was 3,000 plus widows wise, maybe there would have been tens, maybe a couple of hundred. So actually, this was a big ministry to run. They needed wisdom. Likewise, we need great leaders who have great wisdom, often greater wisdom and skills and gifting than us as staff. We would love to see the Vine continuing to grow ultimately, wouldn't we? A healthy church is a growing church, isn't it? I think we'd all agree with that. And our last members meeting, we identified a number of areas where we'd love to continue growing. We'd love to develop men's and women's ministry specifically to those demographics. We'd love to better engage with our 20s and 30s group that has grown. We would love to host more entry-level kind of social events where we're able to kind of get a sense of belonging for us as a church, but also we're inviting those around us who don't normally come to church into those entry-level social get-togethers. We would love to reach out to, in children's work, our Key Stage 1 and 2 children better in midweek. You know, at Dangerous Club, we have probably 60 to 70% of our young people that come in that age range, and they're all aged between 7 kind of 12, 60, 70% of them don't normally go to church. And so how can we help them in their journey to come to know Jesus? And so we'd love to have maybe a midweek group that's more Bible-focused in terms of how it spends its time. But we'd also love to grow in depth. A church that is a mile wide but only an inch deep isn't very healthy, is it? And so we want to grow in our depth, in our discipleship as well. So a number of ways, by encouraging people to be reading the Bible one-to-one, or in prayer triplets, or more people in Bible studies, or providing pathways to serve in short-term mission, whether it be locally or abroad. We would love to see this Vine growing, but it does need people. It needs people to get involved. And this is the way it works in most voluntary clubs. My hockey club and most sports clubs or social clubs, if you're part of them, work the same way, really. The hockey club, we have one or two paid employees who help run, administrate the club. But actually, it depends on people turning up to umpire, coach as volunteers. A year ago, actually, we did a big building campaign for the clubhouse, and the clubhouse is now there, and it's amazing. It's a brilliant asset to the community. But it was all driven by growth. You know, we had so many children turning up on a Sunday morning for the hockey clubs that we needed more coaches, more umpires. We needed a clubhouse for the parents to be able to sit in. And so there's many organizations that work like this. And actually, I've got involved myself a bit more this year with umpiring. And it really helps you to get to know the community you're a part of a bit more. It helps you feel a part of it as you're serving other people's needs. And it's just great fun as you serve with other people and you get a bit of stick for making bad umpire decisions, so on and so forth. But it's all part of a living community. So can I encourage you, you know, if you're maybe new to Jersey Baptist Church, or if you haven't been able to get involved in any way with any kind of ministry, please do get involved. It's a great way to get to know people, to serve other people, and ultimately to become a part of the community. So But the final section here, as we look at these final few, this final half of the passage, corporately understood that they needed to keep that balance between the trellis and the vine. But individually, we see this play out in Stephen's life. So corporately and individually, in this third section, corporately and individually, prayer and word ministry is primary. And we see this play out in Stephen's life personally. This is quite an incredible moment, really. We see Stephen here is appointed, along with the six others, in terms of overseeing this ministry. And we then see him now on the front line sharing Christ in the synagogues and getting a lot of opposition and persecution for it. But it's really helpful because we see that, you know, it would have been tempting for Stephen to think, okay, you know, I'm in charge of this ministry now. That's my task. I'm not really a Bible teacher. I'm not going to go and tell people about Jesus. He might have thought that. Philip might have thought that as well. He's one of the seven. Philip goes on later to be the one that talks to the Ethiopian eunuch and bring him to faith. We see that for these characters, they understood that their primary role was a plain and simple disciple. Their primary role was not their function or their role in church, but it was a disciple of Jesus, sharing Jesus with the world around them. And that's what I love about Robert and Jim. They're two of our characters here at church. Robert's just looking at me now. There's many things to love about Robert and Jim. But Robert and Jim, this is the one thing, a couple of things that I love about Robert and Jim. They're overseeing our kind of Building for the Future project. They know lots about organizing it and designing it, bricks and mortar. And they're doing a great job with that. But as gifted there as they are with that, they also know their primary function as a follower of Jesus. In the week, I've seen Robert reading the Bible one-to-one with people. I've heard them having conversations about conversations they've had with people in their life who don't know Jesus. And so they recognize that their primary function is prayer and ministry word as an individual. And that's really helpful for us to understand that. As we get involved in different ways, you know, it's easy to maybe think, okay, well, I look after the books, I'm the treasurer, that's my role. And it's a temptation in churches that can become their role. The person that is good at sharing their faith with someone, they're the evangelist, they do that bit, I do the books. But actually, that's not the picture we see here from Stephen. And that's a challenge to us as pastor, assistant pastor, staff. Our roles don't supersede our calling, actually, to be followers of Jesus, sharing Jesus with the world around us. Why? Because that is what matters to the world around us. There's a lot at stake. Eternity is at stake for those around us. The gospel is at stake. But in this last bit now, we see that Stephen experiences great persecution. And here's the truth, a growing church will receive persecution. And it might even, as in this instance here, be often actually from people who you think would be on your side. These people are persecuting Stephen. They were Jews. They were people that were supposedly religious people. But because a growing church is driven by the gospel, word proclamation, the word of God is going out, we know that the gospel can divide. You know, it can be black and white in many ways. You're either for Jesus or not for Jesus. It can divide. And the world doesn't like this. The ethical standards that the Bible brings to life and humanity as the best way for living life, the world does not like this. And the devil loves to get a foothold into this and to disrupt and to cause breakup here. And so we must come to expect it. But here's a challenge. If we're not facing opposition corporately or individually, it is likely that the proclamation of the word is not really happening enough. Now, what that persecution looks like in our culture might be very different to what Stephen expected. But are we receiving resistance? Not from our kind of own personalities or characters, but actually are we receiving resistance to the gospel going out, to the word being proclaimed? That is what a grown church looks like. That is what a grown church will probably face. And so, as we finish now, and as I pray, I do pray that we have patience as we go through growth pains. There might be a few things that come our way. We need patience and love and care with each other. We do need to think of solutions. We need to try and find ways to run church better. We need to balance that trellis and that vine work. We need to put good trellis in place to support the vine. But ultimately, corporately and individually, to make sure we don't lose the sight of prayer and ministry word in our individual lives, but also as a church. As we embark on building for the future, we pray that this is God's plan, and we know we're all individually prayerfully working out how we might support this, if we will support this. My prayer is actually we won't lose sight of the gospel. We won't lose sight of our primary function as a church, because ultimately that is where growth is. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that here we see in Acts, we see a growing church, a church that's thriving and one, incredibly, even in its early stages, was growing incredibly. And we know that with that growth, there was growing pains, and we might be experiencing some of that as well. And we're thankful to God for the growth you are bringing, the work you're doing in people's hearts, the work you're doing in our hearts. But we pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church to adjust to this growth, to put better systems and processes and plans and strategies in place, ultimately for the sake of your gospel and your son Jesus, so that his name may be proclaimed, that your word may be preached and taught to the world around. We pray, Lord, you'd help us in this, in your name. Amen.